All right, we are plugged in and ready to go. It's Wednesday, the 13th of December here in Sydney, Australia. You're listening to Kraz Files podcast. And Jim West is plugging in with me tonight from New York. And all the podcasts go up on the website, krazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. Always a lot to check out, so have a look. And good to plug in with you, Jim. I was thinking we might call this show Night Watch because it's night here and night for you, same day.
That's amazing. Even though we're on the opposite ends of the world.
Yeah, it's Wednesday night here around 7:40 and 3:40 for you, a.m.
Right. A.m., right.
Same day.
Great. We're on the opposite cusps of the night.
Well, we're, I find I think clearly at night, and so we're here like a bunch of night hawks watching what's happening in this insane world. Well, maybe it's a good opportunity to break some things down and offer some opinions.
Yeah, thanks a lot for inviting me on the show. I really appreciate it, you know.
I don't do a lot of podcasts with as many guests as I used to because of just time and I'm just worn out and tired, and so I enjoy talking to certain people, and you're one of them, so that's why I've always got these kind of revolving people that we have a chat with.
Oh, great to hear.
Yeah, it's just gets tiring. I don't know about you, Jim, but I feel like, researching, especially you, with the books that you're putting out, you know, I know it sounds bad. I don't mean it to be bad, but it's like a burden. Sometimes I could be just like an ostrich and put my head in the sand like most of the population, you know. I don't have anything against people, but most people are just happy to, absorb themselves spiritually and mentally and physically in entertainment and sports and movies, and that's fine. You know, I do a little bit as well. I just mean they're not too interested in any of this material that we're talking about now, and we're going to talk about tonight and what we always do and all the stuff I put up. It just becomes hard because you really, you know, only probably have a couple of friends, you know, that are into what I am into, and we can have some conversations about it, but most of the people are just so busy and with their families and everything, and I'm trying to do the same, raise a family and work, but it gets you down sometimes, researching all this all the time and keeping the website going and the material going out and doing the podcasts and talking about all this material and reading these books and your books and ultrasound and seeing so many people still I'm sleepwalking into a mass black hole.
Yeah, it's really a lot of a depressing information, you know.
I try not to see it as depressing, but I just mean I try to be positive about it, and it's just what I'm interested in. But I sometimes think, maybe it would be nice to be like most people, because it just doesn't seem to bother them. You can talk to them about a lot of heavy stuff, man, and these sort of shudders come over the eyeballs, you know, and they just sort of go into a little bit of a daze and, you know, then change the subject.
Yeah.
Talk about the weather or something like that. Most people just don't want to. It's too, you know, this doing this kind of stuff that we're doing, and again, I say, especially you, it does take over your life a lot. I get a bit antsy and a bit cranky and a bit funny because, you know, I'm trying to run my normal day-to-day life with a child and wife and everything, and your bills and your work and family and people around you and everything you have to do to survive. But then you've got the burden of all this information. I feel like my brain's constantly being downloaded with just all this stuff. And I can't stop looking at it. And I keep looking at all this info and reading all this stuff. And it's great to learn, but it just seems like it gets worse every day. And as I said, I'm looking at it almost an entire nation of people in this country that I love so much, just sleepwalking into this huge black pit. and no one seems to care. I don't know what to do. I guess do the best you can, and keep researching. But I think you need some time off, maybe, or some. I don't know how you are able to maybe check out a little bit and relax away from the material that you're researching, because you're putting out some heavy books, especially recently. And you've said it's very tough to research that sort of stuff, and knowing that all these people around you are getting hurt by it.
Yeah, well,
but they're kind of too far embedded into the system to really care or to really dig themselves out, and they just go through it.
Yeah, it's amazing. The person who I really admire, he's deceased now, but Robert S. Mendelson, the medical doctor who wrote all the books, and he's one of the great pioneers of medical criticism. Former head of the Illinois State Hospital Licensing Committee, but he was funny. You know, there's videos of him on YouTube, and he's working in a hospital day and night all his life, and he sees all the horror, more horror than you and I can imagine, every day. You know, and he sees injustice and incompetence and corruption, and he writes these books, and he's like Woody Allen or something. He's just really naturally funny, and that ability to talk about horrible things in a funny way is pretty amazing, you know. And so I wish I could do that, you know, but.
Yeah, I mean, you've been embedded in writing and putting a book out for a whole year.
Well, ever since 2013, since the 80s, I've been researching, but since 2013, I've been like 24/7, 7 days a week, just researching one horror story after another, you know. But I was pretty heavy into all this stuff. I mean, lightly in the 80s, and then from the 90s on, pretty heavy, and then the last 4 years have just been super heavy, you know.
Yeah.
Like a monk or a priest, you know.
I know, just with one subject, one thing that everybody, that almost every pregnant woman on earth, depending on where they are, of course, and how poor they're living, but in most, you know, countries would be subjected to ultrasound. I mean, this is something that you would think maybe you might be able to put one book out on.
Right.
It just keeps going.
Yeah.
People must be thinking, these guys again talking about ultrasound. These guys are nuts. You know? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, yeah.
And it is just when you screw your head around this and you look at it in the right way, or try to, it's an incredible thing, you know. And your book DDT Polio just blew me away. That's an incredible book, and 50 Human Studies, an unbelievable book, and now the ultrasound causation, and another two parts of that coming. So it's just unbelievable, my friend. Unbelievable. Well, you know,
I'm glad I had an effect on somebody.
Maybe, I don't know. What do you think it is? What do you think? I've trying as well, but I can't seem to. I can't get much.
No,
I'm in these huge anti-vaccination pages.
Well, you know,
having these heated discussions about autism, and I'm just putting this information in there as another view, you know, and it just doesn't seem like anyone touches it really.
Right. Well, that first book, I am happy to say, is a regular seller on Amazon.com. Just lays out the science for ultrasound hazards. You know, that you know, it's not. It's just a regular trickle, you know, of interest, and and it is. It has a pretty high profile on the web. People have been talking about it. I talked about it a whole lot. Maybe that's one of the reasons I got on a lot of forums and mentioned it. You know, But the second book, I'm not sure. It's not selling at all, which is the Brazil microcephaly epidemic as caused by ultrasound.
It may take some time.
Right, and I'm not pushing it either. And I also feel before I push it, I might as well get the second book out there because it has more of the hardcore supporting documentation for the first book, you know. So I got to finish these other two books before I start hitting the forums and blogs and all that stuff, you know. So, but it's I did do a interview with David Crow about a month ago. He has a show called The Infectious Myth, where he criticizes the germ theory and all that and covers
Yeah, another one.
Yeah, you know that. Great.
Yeah.
So he basically acted like he didn't believe a word I was saying about or anybody says about the Brazil epidemic throughout the entire interview. It was total challenge, everything I had to say. But it was fine because we're friendly. I've known him for many years, and I was glad to have him challenge me. I could answer everything I thought in a good way, in a strong way. But that's just the way it went. But we're talking about how difficult it is to broach the subject of ultrasound causation for the microcephaly. Well, that was another example of what we're talking about, the difficulty in talking about some of these subjects, you know. People, I guess, are so inundated now with the internet, with information. I think for them to believe something, it has to be framed in some heavy authority, like, you know.
But, yeah.
Maybe that's part of it.
I don't know. They seem to go through these mainstream newspapers, which are full of crap. You know, they can't buy enough of them. They carry them around like Bibles.
But those are always framed in authority. They always have doctor said this, doctor said that.
They're full of rubbish. And, I mean, you just take one look at it, it's absolutely rubbish. But, I mean, they swallow it up. They can't get enough.
It is.
That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah,
they turn on the news reports every night, and they got these news anchors up there with the perms and, you know, and the certain way they look and they act, and these news reporters, and they let them into their lives, into their homes, and they believe every word, and they become like these celebrities that these people look up to and adore and love. They worship them.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess if we study human psychology, we'll figure that out. Certainly they have studied human psychology because that's their business, you know, is selling.
Yeah.
They want to sell public interest. You know, that's the number one thing. They don't care. I mean, whether or not it's true or not is another issue. The number one thing is they want to sell interest, and then they hook their advertisements to it, I guess, you know.
They're salesmen.
Yeah, they're selling a culture, basically.
The thing that for me, I was just went for a walk at like 5:30 in the morning, and walking along the beach, getting the fresh air, the salt air, you know. And I was just thinking about some things, and I thought, gee, we've got so many of these people in Australia, and I keep sort of prodding people on social media as to what they think, because we've got these very nasty people in Australia that, you know, through the media and the government and these health ministers and that are pushing this mandatory vaccination agenda and, you know, big pharmaceutical agenda. You know, you've got people in the US like Paul Offit and Richard Pan and these kinds of politicians and these people. There just seems to be everywhere in society. And I look at them and I think, oh, man, these people, you know, I can't sometimes work them out. They seem very cunning. But then I think that some of them seem like sociopaths, but then some of them seem too dumb to be a sociopath, because you've got to have some brains to be a sociopath, you know? I mean, you look at some of these serial killers, they've got to bring in FBI guys to hunt them down, and these guys have to think like them to catch them. And I think sometimes these politicians and people, you know, they seem to be acting very cunning, and they're not listening to our side of the story, and they're pushing these dangerous vaccines and drugs and things on children. And yet they've got families, and they're obviously pushing a line, and they're doing what they're told to. And, you know, a lot of these news anchors and TV talking heads that get up there every night and push this agenda, you know, obviously if they have their own opinions, they're not going to have a job, you know.
Yeah.
Following Monday, but I can't work a lot of them out. I mean,
okay. So I got an idea.
Running around with no morals or shame or dignity anymore. I don't understand how human beings can act like this. I mean, is it just for money?
There must be every possible combination of person. Like you know that phrase, he must be either naive or corrupt, right? So I think that's the polar range of what you're talking about. People are either they're naive or they're corrupt, or it's a blend, you know, where people, you know, when you listen to these anchor men and anchor women and all that, they you know, they will deny 9/11 was an inside job. That's like a prerequisite. If you're going to hold a position as a mainstream political anchor man, you know, you have to assume that was done by bin Laden, and then you go from there, right? And otherwise, you lose your job immediately. And when they say something about a germ, or they say something about the flu vaccine or whatever, they have to believe that these are real things, and it's just, or else they're going to lose their job. You know what I mean? There's certain things that they just have to believe in. And I wonder if in order to be successful, because they're in such competition to be successful with other anchormen, that they don't have even the time in their own brain to consider that it might not be true. You know, like it's like the guy who kisses up to the boss at work. The most successful ass kisser is going to be the one who actually believes in what he's doing, who doesn't try to separate himself between being obsequious and knowing that he's being obsequious. You know what I mean? It's more efficient if you're truly a dog wagging your tail than if you're pretending to be a dog wagging the tail. The dog that's actually wagging his tail is going to win. He'll beat the one that's pretending to be a dog wagging his tail. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's just something I'm interested in. I mean, things are very bad in Australia, so I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's so shameless.
Well, it's shameless, but whether or not they believe it or not.
Yeah, that's what I wonder.
It's always a puzzle. You know, you want to grab them and say, hey, do you really believe that stuff? You know?
There's all these dreadful morning breakfast shows on here. And a while ago, watching one, Joe Hildebrand, his name is. He's a troublemaker and a racist. And he was on there talking about how parents who don't vaccinate, it's a Studio 10, I think it was called. I've put some articles up on it, but this guy with glasses, and he's going on about how we're bad parents and bad people, and how we all need to be put out on an island somewhere, and you know, and all of this, and he's just crapping on with all this stuff. I was in the room when it was on at the time, and I was just so angry. I wanted to jump through the TV and out into the studio, you know, because it was live, and just right. With my hands around his neck, this guy. And that's what we're seeing every day on every channel and every newspaper in this country.
Maybe he's desperate, though.
Selling this, they're desperately, I don't know, but they what they're doing is they're desperately selling a lie, which is the vaccine lie. And maybe we're going to, if we're going to look at this, for example, they're selling this huge lie, and it's just all these people that are clueless about the subject, but feel the need to open their their big mouths on national television, but I don't know. They just seem to be smirking and just seem to have this smart-ass attitude all the time. And, you know, with so many people growing angry against this system, they just still don't seem to care. We have, you know, Jill Hennessy, who's the Victorian health minister. She has no background in health. And she's pushing the mandatory vaccination agenda big time, more than anybody almost in the country. She's a compulsive liar. And I think she's mentally ill. And, you know, I put up an article on her where she's pushing flu shots onto children. And, you know, Australia's chief medical officer, they came out on national television here and in the papers. It's weird. And they did print this and they said that their flu vaccine has failed for 2017 again. Flu season, so-called flu season in Australia, with 170,000 cases confirmed. Huh. So they come out and said, well, our flu vaccine didn't work this time, you know. But then here's Jill Hennessy and the Victorian government pushing free flu vaccinations for all children from 6 months when these same flu shots brain damaged children in this country. When they were going to stop it, well, they were going to ban it for children under five, you know, which they said they did. But it's amazing. Here you have them coming out admitting that this flu vaccine has failed.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And you have her pushing the same vaccine onto children. So it's like,
They're pushing the threshold of people's gullibility. And people are so gullible that they actually have to feed the anti-vaccine movement ammunition in order to keep the argument going. You know, they are so secure in people's belief in authority, or corrupt authority in this case, that they actually have to feed the ammunition against themselves, you know, to keep the vaccine argument going there, because the vaccine argument is important, you know. It creates a lot of jobs. It's like a war, you know. A war kills a lot of people. It's corrupt. It's this and that. But it creates a lot of jobs and a lot of industrial growth, a lot of progress for civilization, you know. High technology flourishes. Banks, money, medicine, everything flourishes.
That's just what's kidding me, you know.
Yeah, so.
Who are in alternative media, they kind of have that strength to walk through it. But it's the way people act that really bother me.
Yeah. You know? And most of the alternative media will not touch these subjects either. You know, they might get on the anti-vaccine thing, but even then they won't necessarily.
That's right.
You know,
it's.
I guess there's different layers of independence. You know, and the more independent you are, the farther you are from the central feed. News feed, you know.
Yeah. Well, people like Jill Hennessy, you know, she got up on national television and the media had it already about how she got attacked by evil anti-vaxxers and threatened and all this. But, you know, that was proven to be made up and a total sham. And she's still in a job, of course. But now she's pushing for mandatory vaccinations for all primary school children in Victoria. Lots of things happening there, but this is I'm just an independent researcher here, and I'm just looking at it from my angle. But this is a person that has been running around like a wild dog, you know, getting away with murder, and she doesn't like that there is an anti-vaccination movement or health freedom movement now that's questioning what she's doing, because she got off on national television and said there are no risks in vaccinating your children. You know, and that got picked up all around the world. I mean, Mike Adams from Natural News did a huge video on it, and it just went everywhere. And, you know, instead of coming out and apologizing and or clarifying what she said, she's just gone down this path where she's got this vendetta against this anti-vaccination movement. And she seems to hate them now. And so, you know, this is a person that doesn't seem to be mentally well for me, and I can't work these people out, and she just looks too thick-headed to be a sociopath for me.
Right.
Just well, you know, we have these people in Australia who are pushing this big pharmaceutical line, along with the Prime Minister and all this media and all these, you know, so-called health ministers and all these people. They're pushing this mass vaccination program. If we look at that onto children and onto adults as well, there doesn't seem to be any end to it. They're ruthlessly doing it, going after people, you know, and they just don't seem to have, they think they're above the law. They don't seem to have to answer to anyone. They won't debate anyone. They won't have any conversations with anyone about this. Just seem to be doing and going their own way. It just amazes me. And I just mention this because I watch some of them and I see them on TV and stuff, and the way they talk and the things they say and how they act and their body language. I try and kind of look a bit deeper, and I wonder, you know, Jim, I wonder, are these people sociopathic?
Well,
they're definitely compulsive liars, and they don't seem to care too much about what we think or anyone thinks of them. They seem to be towing a line for sure, because the money's coming in and they're getting paid, you know. I wonder, you know, deep down, are these people sociopathic, or they're just
How did they come
this way?
Almost all doctors will promote vaccines, you know. Now
they're the same.
Now it's hard to believe that they all believe vaccines are really valuable and are really safe, you know, as the CDC, for instance, would promote vaccines. So, but they'll still do the vaccines, still give them and follow protocol, and they sort of have to. They know that if they don't, they're going to be in big trouble. So I guess at a certain point, they just go, well, this is the way the world is, you know, and I'm just a soldier in an army. You know, soldiers, they don't question what they do. They know that they have to go out there and pull that trigger, you know. So they just go ahead and do it. And it's a little more sophisticated maybe with the doctor, because he has to look the people in the eye and convince them that things are wonderful. And he has to deny any culpability and subsequent disease. But, you know, it's more complicated. But, you know, a lot of times I don't think the doctor even realizes what he got into after he spent. It may only be after he went through this grueling medical school and 8 years of education and he paid a fortune that he realized that maybe his profession, his selected profession, is a corrupt, and that he has become the opposite of what he thought he was getting into. Although I heard from a biology professor that he always pulls his medical students and asks them why they got into medicine, and he said every one of them says because they wanted the money. You know, it's not because they want to save humanity, but they're there for the prestige and the money. They want to be a doctor, you know. Although I guess it depends how you ask that question. I imagine if you asked it another way, they would say, I'm here, yes, to help people because I love people or whatever. I don't know. But I think a doctor invests so much, and that's part of the trap, you know, that he can't turn around or his life would be a disaster, a financial disaster, you know, if he suddenly realized how dangerous, you know.
Do you think some of these doctors and these people I'm talking about, these so-called health ministers and media people, do you think they actually believe in so-called vaccine science, for example?
Well, like I'm saying,
do they actually believe in it?
I think it's like all human beings on all topics. They are not necessarily wiser or smarter. There's this, like I said, there's this polar range from naivete to from absolute naivete to absolute corruption, and then you have a mix of everything between, you know. And I think it's just, that's the way it is, you know. I think some of them may say the exact same thing, but one will say it out of naivete, one will say it out of corruption. And another third one will say the exact same thing and say it out of a blend of the two. You know, their inner motivation is really another trip, you know. That's why you notice people famous people get really uncomfortable when you hear somebody pose a question to them and say, I want you to tell me about the war in Syria as you would describe it to your own son. You know, then you can see them get a little uncomfortable, you know. Mm. You know, when you make it personal like that.
Yeah.
So I think maybe they do. A lot of times they know there's a public. Well, I think Hillary Clinton even said that, right? There's a public message and there's a private message, and they're two separate messages. And that's true of all of us in our lives to a certain extent. We have a private and public side, except I think when it comes to politics, a professional politician, his whole life is about that public-private thing.
Yeah.
You know, it is the complexity of Machiavellian real world, you know. The way it is now, I think people are afraid to be honest when and they're at work around the coffee break there, because they can get fired, you know, if the word gets around that they are not politically correct or whatever, you know. Whereas it seemed to be in the old days, you know, you could talk and you had your opinion, and you go back to work, and then next day you might continue the discussion or something. But now, if you don't follow the straight and narrow, it can be difficult, you know. And if you say people are afraid to tell their best, like this one mother told me, she's anti-vaccine, and she's gonna, but when she sees her other friends who have children, she doesn't tell them she's anti-vaccine. To me, it's like you're saying, okay, you're gonna let your friends just go to hell, you know. But she knows she would probably she could lose her friends if she said she was anti-vaccine, because they wouldn't want their children to play with her children. So now she has to act like one of these anchor people that you're criticizing, because that anchor guy knows he's not going to have his job any longer. So he's, for the same reason, he's following the party line. I think I was reading about the early development of the Catholic Church, and one of the things they have to, the early clerics or priests would have to, as they were being initiated into the Catholic Church, they had to promise that they put a sword, you know, like at their neck, and they say, before, when they swear them in, they say, do you promise to believe that black is white and white is black if you are so told by the hierarchy of power? And then you have to say, yes, I agree to say that black is white and white is black. And then you are brought in to the power, and you benefit from that power. And I think it's sort of similar, probably, to the political hierarchy, and they're the watchers of the sheep, you know. They're the sheep herders.
Mm.
So that's a nice depressing view. So, well, but we are the sheep, though, that want to avoid getting fleeced. You know, that's what William Blake said in his poetry back in a couple hundred years ago or whatever. That I complain and I rant because I don't want to be fleeced. You know. I know I'm one of the sheep, but I'm one of the rebellious sheep that doesn't want it to be slaughtered, you know. The happy sheep will just keep going right along, having a beautiful, happy life.
And they're happy, yeah.
And why not? Because, you know, the end comes very quick and they don't even know it. So the suffering only suffers, the disillusionment only suffers for like maybe 1 second as the farmer slits the sheep's throat, you know? Whereas the sheep.
At least cattle get spooked, don't they, before they go in to get slaughtered? Cattle will get spooked.
Oh, right. Well, they may have an hour then of disillusionment.
They eat out in the grass and for a certain amount of time, and they get taken on the trucks and in to be chopped up, you know, or electrocuted or whatever it is they do to them, bash them over the head, but they do get spooked
at that point.
Yeah, before, you know, when they're being rounded in to be go through the slaughterhouse, and we may do it. I don't know if you want to say, you know, in Australia, I think in the US, not from video I've seen, but we may do it more humanely, but in many countries, they just slaughter them.
Right.
But when they're being rounded up and taken in there, they know.
They know this is a little weird, you know.
Yeah, something's going on here, but most people, they're not spooked.
But you know, that's on the industrial scale of cattle raising, but I was told by a doctor. He was telling me, but he said he was raised on a farm, right? And he said people behave the same way that the cattle do. He said that he would help birth the calves, right? And then they would bond to him as well as their mother. They saw him as their protector and friend. And he would love them and they would love him. But he said at a certain point, they had to get on the truck and go to the slaughterhouse. And he says he was the guy who would stand at the top of that ramp, and he would wave his hands and tell them to come to him and get on the truck. And that he says that they are imprinted to trust him, and they would do it. They'd get on the truck. And he says that's just the cold, hard reality of it. And he says the doctor does the same thing.
You know? Yeah.
The doctor has to do that. It's the doctor's mission in society to help herd the sheep in a certain respect. And I think George Bernard Shaw was saying the same kind of thing. It's like that people have not lost their faith in religion. They've just transferred it over to the medical system. And he's another rebellious poet. And writer. But, you know, religion, all the religions, the major religions, Muslim, Jewish, and Christian, now I can't say all the Christian, but the Catholic Church, they seem to fully support the vaccine system. And none of them say anything about ultrasound. And look at all the hospitals. I guess it's the same in Australia as it is here, but tons of hospitals are named like St. Mary's, St. Jude, St. Luke's. They're all like, you think you're going to heaven when you go to the hospital. You don't realize you're going to a slaughterhouse a lot of times.
Yeah.
There's this hospital that I used to work at, not as a medical person, but I know their nickname was a butcher house. They called themselves a butcher house, yet they will have a name like Saint this and Saint that, and they'll have a nun as the head of the board of directors, you know. So it's all tied together, the medical system, the doctors, according to Dr. Mendelsohn, are just extensions of the religious priests. In fact, he calls them the devil's priests. He has a chapter there. It's online, beautiful writing, describing what doctors are, you know. They are the devil's priests, you know.
Yeah.
So,
I guess it's like the, you know, the golden apple or something. It's the, they have to wrap it all up in this nice presentable package to lure you in and get your trust, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is,
what's behind it?
If we realize, if we can wrap our head around the idea and realize that doctors are the devil's priests, then the other professions have the same mission. They're like the mainstream anchor people. They are then also like the priests of mainstream news. They're also the sheep herders. And we could then begin to say, well, it looks like they know what they're doing. They know it's a lie. They know their job is to promote these lies. Maybe they aren't so innocent after all. Maybe it's not a mistake. Maybe they're not that stupid. I think each one finds their own little niche in the media world. And they, you know, like you have this one guy you were talking about earlier being antagonistic. That's his approach, right? And uncouth and crass in his criticism of anti-vaccination people.
Just downright insulting and rude.
Right.
And nasty.
And then, but then you'll have the intelligent, you know, academic purveyors of vaccines. You know, you have all kinds. They'll fill whatever niche they can find it, you know. But we're lucky we can search for the truth, you know. But that's because we don't have power. If we had power, we would have to fit in.
I guess people who are going to listen will be thinking, what angle are these guys doing? But it's just I'm trying to shift a little bit here and trying to go through things that people might be thinking in their heads each day, you know. Because I feel like we've gone through the science and we've gone through the evidence and we've gone through the books more than anybody. I mean, we've gone through the hard-hitting stuff that you've put out if we're looking at ultrasound in particular. But I'm just trying to look behind the mask of the system here and how all these people operate so seemingly detached. From any reality or the reality that I know, they seem to just cruise through their lives without a care in the world. And I see them and the way they act, and I just can't believe it. And I guess it shouldn't bother me. And you know, really, it doesn't bother me too much. I guess I'm just interested in it, and I want to find out, you know, what makes these people tick. But I do think that all these trolls and all these health ministers and all these politicians and prime ministers and media talk show personalities and talking heads and wankers in this country that are pushing this mandatory vaccination agenda without doing any research and not knowing what they're talking about and just getting up there insulting families and calling us child abusers and baby killers and all of this stuff. I think these people are disgusting parasites. And I think it's grubby, disgusting parasites, and I think they're just... They're ghouls, Jim, and
right.
You know, I don't even want to be in the same room as these people. I just think they're just utter scum.
Well, right. I know. But the thing is, see that emotion and that energy will drain you. You know, and it saddens you. It makes you bitter. You know,
it does.
Yeah.
And then they win, don't they?
Well, they're sucking your blood, they're sucking your energy.
They're vampires, aren't they?
And that's why Robert Mendelsohn, MD, you know, is amazing in that he keeps the humor going. I don't know how he does it, but it's amazing. He's talking about literally a slaughter of families and children.
How could you support that?
In front of it. He's like working in the slaughterhouse, right, because he's a doctor in a hospital. And then he describes it all, but he does it with humor, you know. And he has to, you know, his colleagues are fellow slaughterhouse workers, you know.
They're all in on it together. I mean, how could you get up there if you're a mainstream media journalist and support injecting poisons into children?
Yeah.
And then ruthlessly attack people who want to protect their kids love them more than life itself. I mean, you want to know about people who don't want to vaccinate their kids, whether they're into ultrasound or not. These people don't vaccinate their kids because they love their kids so much and they're so worried it's going to harm them.
Well, you know, life...
That's love.
What is life about? Is it to be safe and secure and rational? It seems to me every possibility of human experience is available to us, and I just think my lucky star is that I'm not in the basement of some military torture house having my eyelids peeled off my face, you know. It could be worse, you know, but it's hard to imagine it could be worse for a child who is burned alive in the womb with ultrasound and ends up being severely microcephaly and brain damaged. You know, that's a pretty it's hard for that to. I mean, I guess that surpasses the worst military war story, right? Of torture, right?
Could I do a cartoon of a pregnant woman with a baby in the womb inside a microwave? I mean, would that be fitting?
What are you saying?
Could I do a cartoon of a pregnant woman looking into a pregnant woman's stomach with the baby in the womb, but the baby's actually inside a microwave oven and it's turned on?
Well, I guess you could.
I mean, is that fitting enough for people?
Well, I did a cartoon which was published in the Townsend Letter for Doctors and, well, not for doctors. They changed their name. It's the Townsend Letter. And it was published, and it was it shows an ultrasound operator and a woman undergoing ultrasound, and the doctor is smiling and authoritative and confident, and the woman is trusting and smiling and happy, and they're both looking at the ultrasound machine, looking at the baby, and obviously they're thinking, is it a boy, is it a girl? And I think I put a question mark in the computer monitor of the ultrasound machine, right? And then I did another article, and I replaced the question mark with a bomb, a classic little cartoon of a bomb. So that's similar to your microwave machine,
right?
Yeah, except it's more simple. A bomb's more simple. And how are you going to get a microwave machine in a woman's stomach anyway? It's too big.
I don't know. I've seen some small ones.
Oh, small microwave?
Yeah, pretty small. I've seen some quite small ones.
Wow. Cool.
I mean, it's just, that's kind of what you're looking at.
Right.
I don't know how many, I don't know, maybe, I don't even know if we'll ever see in our lifetime. You know, the media are even discussing this. I'm just not seeing it anywhere. I'm not seeing one conversation taking place in regards to even questioning ultrasound.
I read one. The Wall Street Journal actually has done a couple of articles critical of the number of ultrasounds. Mm-hmm. And they're the number of unnecessary ultrasounds.
They're pushing them so much.
Right, but they were critical of it. The whole article was critical of it. But the thing is, there's all these trolls jumped on, which I suspect are paid trolls because they were real experts. And they tried to pretend that the article was about the high cost of ultrasound sessions. And then they got into a fake argument over the high cost of ultrasound sessions. You know,
that's
so,
right. They steered it all away.
Yeah, it was very clever. And
we're full of them here. Full of them.
For them?
No, Australia is full of these trolls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the trolls.
They work with the media. Work with the media, and they supply dirt to them, and they're all in on it together. It's amazing.
Well, the government.
There's a couple of people who seem to think they a lot of them are coming from call centers in India and other places.
Well,
I've actually had them change shifts on me.
And they speak with an Indian accent or what?
Yeah, they troll people on Facebook, you know.
Oh, yeah.
When it's, you know, things, and then she's got into a bit deeper with some of them, and then one of them admitted that he was in India and he was in a call center. He's said he's being paid to do that. But then, you know, you got a lot of spooks and gatekeepers. You got a lot of, you know, but it does seem that the pharmaceutical industry is paying these trolls to do this. So you always get it, you know, when you're on this line.
Right.
And I think ultrasound is coming out. I think we are giving birth. I hate to say that. We're giving birth to ultrasound information, Jim. And I think people are starting to maybe have a little bit of a conversation about it. And I think you're going to get these trolls in on it because it's always, you know, GMOs, vaccines, geoengineering, ultrasounds. all the most evil, despicable things that's happening to mankind and planet Earth. They've got these troll armies, these gatekeepers that are always there,
right,
wherever you are or wherever you're commenting. And these trolls, they follow the mainstream media newspapers in Australia. Well, so when they put out these, these articles pushing vaccines, the trolls go on there and they just have this pecking order they maintain, you know?
Yeah. Right. They probably have a manager who sends them a list of stuff that's coming out that they should hit, you know?
Yeah, I think some of them are involved with the government as well. It goes higher.
I'm sure the government sees the internet as, you know, I think it's probably looked at it as almost like a military mission.
I think so. Well, some of the trolls I've noticed, they know how to tick people off. So you got a lot of people on there posting information, and they just seem to know how to get under people's skin.
Oh, they probably have experts teaching them the psychology of trolling and all that.
That's right. It goes much deeper than most people think.
Right.
Yeah, and as I said, they create many fake profiles. So, you know, one troll could have up to 5 to 20 different profiles, even more, just on Facebook.
Sure.
You know, so you think there's hundreds of the bloody things, and you know you don't know what you're dealing with. But we've got them here in bucket loads. I think they're domestic terrorists,
right? And they can, you know, with these trolls, they can flood. They can promote ideas, and promote political candidates. You know, and they make it look like a natural evolution of democracy. That certain people get elected, you know.
Well, the media do that. I mean, the Rupert Murdoch media in Australia.
But an extension of the media, mainstream media, is probably trolling, you know.
Yeah, well, they're trolls. I mean, I've contacted many journalists who I call prostitutes.
Right.
And that's a term that's been out there a long time. But I've contacted a lot of them to come on and debate and do things, or just ask for some answers because of the garbage they're pushing. And they're just trolls.
Sure.
That's all they are.
Sure.
They're trolls.
Sure.
Yeah. They just sit home on a laptop and they go around and work for the different papers and they just pump out rubbish. And they don't care.
Yeah.
I've actually tried to engage with some of them, Jim, on a human level, and they're just disgusting trolls.
Right.
And
right.
People look up to them. It's amazing.
Well, I was trying to figure out how to promote my second book, you know, on the Brazilian Zika virus epidemic. And, you know, I'm looking at all the blogs and everything, and there's just so much. It's like inundation, you know, to figure out how to get any profile there, you know, to raise your profile, to make a mark. It's like you're drowning in fake information, you know.
When I
go online, it's like,
yeah, it's designed to just confuse the hell out of everybody, keep everybody fighting.
Yeah
You know, that's their job. It's a full-time job for them.
Right It's another form.
There's some people in Australia that absolutely believe that they're in big call centers over there. in India, I think some were definitely like that. It does seem to fit because you can see with their spelling and the way they spell and put things forward, and you can see that they don't know what they're talking about. And you can also see that what they're doing is they're just copying and pasting information from CDC websites and government pro-vaccination websites. They're just copying and pasting that in there and passing it off as their own, that they're writing that. You know, honestly, none of it bothers me because I'm just going to go my own way anyway.
Great.
You know, I got so much stuff. The one article I was going to mention, it was just the Tao Prime Minister, Jim, has put new gag laws through that could see journalists and whistleblowers jailed for 20 years. This is Australia. I've put that up on the website so people can just have a look. We don't have the time to go through it tonight, but it's up on Crass Files. And he did that when the gay marriage vote went through, and they were all celebrating in Parliament House because everyone's going to be gay, you know. He pushed through this gag laws, And it's mentioning here whistleblowers and journalists, and I'm just wondering where this is going. How long are we going to be able to do this? Just in Australia alone, you know, just openly talk about things like ultrasound and vaccines and how the media operate and things like that, you know. We're not whistleblowers. We're just a couple of guys here talking, but these are pretty frightening laws. Being in Australia, you know, looking at intelligence anyways.
Yeah.
So that was a big worry. And there was some things on autism that we may need to do on another show anyway. And we can keep doing the shows and break these some of these articles that are coming out and just talk about them and break them down.
We will.
As well. But this is a bit scary for real independent journalists, I think, Jim. Guys who, real independent, maybe bigger media that are getting certain information and wanting to put it out.
Well, the truth is really a niche product.
Yeah, it's getting more and more, it's getting quite frightening in Australia, you know. They're really coming down on alternative media and anyone having a say. It's not the country I grew up in.
Yeah.
They're talking about whistleblowers, making disclosure to journalists or other individuals. And all of this stuff. Maybe journalists might get some info off someone about something that's going on and leak it into a paper. The government won't like it. Intelligent agency here. So, it's quite an unbelievable thing. I think Malcolm Turnbull's our worst prime minister in Australian history. It's really staggering what this man's getting away with. But too much to go through, Jim. Too much to go through.
I know.
But at least we tried to break down tonight the way,
Well, we're going to do more sessions and we're going to target these things. And pretty soon we'll have it all figured out.
That's right.
You know, my goal is that by the end of the year, by January, we should have all of this figured out.
My God, you're optimistic, mate.
Yeah, maybe it'll be April before we get a plan together on how to reform everything, change the human mind. Pretty cheery, huh?
It
just is. In case people get down, they got something to look forward to.
It's. I kind of would like to know. Anyway, we can talk about it later. But I'd like to know how much Big Pharma has invested in these ultrasound machines, because I feel like it's definitely, we're getting the info out there. I just think, you know, you've got to do the best you can. And I've already met a few people just in the last couple of months, ladies that aren't going to get them. So that's a positive thing. They're questioning this. So let's hope we're seeing a new dawn here. With this.
We don't want to be too effective. We're going to get in trouble.
Well, we'll plug out now. And, I'll put the links up, of course, when you send the podcast through, Jim. And halfhour.org is your great website, Ultrasound Causation, The Hypothesis, Part A, Microcephaly, Zika virus, etc. That is amazing. There's lots of information on CRAS files. Jim West, people can go to halfhour.org and click on the book and go over and buy it. There's 50 Human Studies, a new bibliography. That's an incredible book, very popular one, Prenatal Ultrasound. And your other book, DDT Polio, Virology versus Toxicology. That's a great book. I have those two as well. On Kindle, and well worth getting. People need to support your work, Jim.
And yours too.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you're the one writing the book, so wouldn't even know where to start writing a book.
Yeah.
My goodness, I have tremendous respect for writers, especially what you're doing, you know, because you're putting out something very brave and very in your face and very unique and very cutting edge and very challenging. And it's against the norm, and it's going to upset a lot of people and their ideas of what they think's going on.
It's about self-survival for me, you know. And
it's incredible.
And it's grown a little beyond that, but that's basically what it is. You know, curiosity, too. Like you're saying tonight, we've just been going through a sort of a curiosity
thing. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's all it is, Jim, just curiosity. Yeah. You know, it's a free podcast. People can take what they want, but it's just a curious thing. And I think ultrasounds, as you've mentioned before many times, it is that golden shiny apple. They're offering those beautiful brand spanking new machines with all the buttons and the knobs, and the lady's got the wand, and you're in there, and it's all air conditioned, and they're showing you the baby, and they're offering you again that golden apple. But
it's part of the enhancement of the medical profession. You know, to have that shiny, glossy, buzzing, blinking machine there behind them. You know.
Yeah. It just never ends. Looking at the medical system in that way, does it? Yeah.
The ultimate radiation icon of worship machine is the proton generator and target device that they use to radiate tumors. I think it costs like $40,000 per session, $40,000 per session for a proton generator. It weighs 400 tons. This device, and it generates, it accelerates protons, you know, up near the speed of light. To me, it's total BS, you know.
It's a science fiction movie.
You know, it's just a big joke, but we can go into that. We'll go into all this stuff on our next, I hope we'll have another show soon. I know you're getting busy. Near the end of the year.
No. At this time, I know some nights we go over, which we shouldn't, but I think if we do it more regularly, we won't. I know that sounds crazy, but
right.
No, I'm here weeknights on this Wednesday night. It's fits perfect for me.
Okay.
If you're okay, and it's a good time to break down things and go deeper and keep digging.
That would be good to have a regular digging show.
Well, it all matches up, and I think people will enjoy it, and you can keep connecting, try and connect the dots. Mm-hmm. Other people have their opinions. Everyone has their opinion, Jim.
Well, they say, what do they say? They say that two heads are better than one, you know, so maybe between the two of us, we'll get a lot of stuff figured out.
Yeah, I think we're coming from a different angle here. I'm just sort of coming in behind a little bit. I'm just trying to work out a few things and work out all of this whole system, because it's like a spider's web.
You know,
the whole medical system is a spider's web. It's not just what you see up front. What they want you to buy the big lie. You know, I'm trying to just find out things.
Each of the professions is playing you off another profession, and
it is.
They're all trying to make a living, trying to extract blood, but there's only so much blood to go around. So they don't want to cannibalize each other. Or themselves, so it's a very tricky and you know, like there's an overlap, you know, like a lot of the people, like it's probably, you know, a lot of those journalists may be pushing vaccines, and they're probably giving vaccines to their children, and their children may be getting damaged, and or maybe with ultrasound getting damaged, you know, and they may think they're slick and funny and clever. Maybe pushing vaccines. Maybe they do it knowledgeably, but they didn't. They weren't aware that ultrasound was going to zap their child. So while they're snickering as they pulled a quick one over the public, selling them the pro-vaccine thing, their own children got zapped with ultrasound. You know, so there's all kinds of different tentacles on this octopus that is interlinking and destroying itself. You know, it's. It's like a bunch of bacteria in a jar. You know, at a certain point, they're going to be eating each other, you know.
That's right.
But there's still a vibrant population. So I guess we're going to get into all this stuff next time.
Yeah, the terrible people, backstabbers.
Put me out of my misery, Adam, please.
All right. All right. Well, let's plug it out. What do you reckon?
Yeah, and looking forward to another Wednesday night.
Sure, we'll be back soon. We'll be back soon, and put a nice big smiley face on everything.
Yeah, pretty soon we'll be laughing.
That's right. All right. Good night, Jim West. Thanks for chatting.
Thanks for the show, Adam. Thank you very much.